The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Hello, folks. Welcome to the National Intel Report. Tonight is Wednesday, May 24, 2023. I'm your regular Wednesday host, William Repillum, and I'm very happy to be here with you tonight. Got a lot of stuff to cover, let's just go ahead and get right into it. Before you do, please go to republicbroadcasting.org and hit the donate button and donate what you can, folks. Please, the station needs your help. We're all almost completely listed or supported except for our sponsors, we depend on any corporate sponsoring, nothing like that. We're just keeping the lights on here. None of us get paid except Mike, who does it for a living. Mike and the others running the station. I don't get paid. I donate. We're doing this because we love to get the truth out. And that is the only motivation. Loving to get the truth out and trying to do what's right for humanity. Getting the truth out, telling the truth, and taking the risk. So help us keep the station alive. All right, so tonight we've got a bunch of stories and everything like that. My favorite news site is Blacklisted News. So I mean, if you want, you could just, I'm going to go through some of these stories. But if you don't want to listen to me, you could just turn off the radio and then go to Blacklisted News and just read all the articles. You might fall asleep, though. I think I'm a little more entertaining. And then you don't have to read yourself. You can just listen. Does that sound good? Hello? Yeah? Okay. I think you said it sounds good. I'm listening to you through the peripheries of the airwaves. I can hear your thoughts. Oh, yeah. All right. So, I'm just going to start from the top. Florida Governor, I'm not going to read you all of them. I'm going to read you the ones I like. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis to enter the presidential race on Wednesday in Twitter space with Elon Musk. In Twitter space with Elon Musk? What does that mean? Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, who traveled to Jerusalem last month to dine with top pro-Israel GOP mega donors and sign an oppressive hate crime bill into law to jail critics of Israel in Florida, is reportedly going to announce he is running for president on Wednesday. Oh, boy. Yeah. What a bait and switch Ron DeSantis turned out to be, didn't he? Coming to Florida, where we respect freedom and we won't, you know, jab you. And we will only start, you know, gender transition education for your children if they're 9 years or older. I'm going to say that was a little bit less of an obvious, not a bait and switch, but yeah, it was a bait and switch, but it was like, I don't know what to call it. It was like an obvious, we're going to let you go. We're going to let it go. We're still going to do this horrific thing, but we're going to make it seem like, oh, we're not going to do it to, you know, 3 to 8 year olds. It's going to start at 9, this education. this indoctrination, this mental molestation and raping of your children. It'll start at 9 years old instead of at three. But that doesn't quite adhere to the Talmud now, does it? Because of the Talmud, according to the Talmud, so they must kind of be, okay, the Jews are saying, okay, Ron DeSantis, we said it's okay to rape kids as long as they're 3 years old. They can rape the goyim, according to our Talmud. But you're going to start it at nine, so I guess that's fine. We can start there. The goyim aren't ready for it at three yet in Florida. And they need to think they have a place to run to where they can go and get away from the transgender agenda and all the other horrific Jewish agendas. So let me see here. Speaking of which, I have some video clips that I came across. One of them was Jews doing what's right. And this was on the Zionist report on BitChute. Mike, this is a 53-second clip. Can you get this one ready? Now, it has a young woman who has a froward look, as mentioned in the Bible, on her face. But she's smiling, and she's just talking up Jews about how wonderful Jews are because they bring, you know, gay rights, and they stop the military from not allowing gays in the military. And now look what happened to the military after the Jews pried that one open. And they do, oh, this is such a good thing, and tikkun olam. Let me just let the clip roll, and then we're going to go back through it, because it's like a of Jewish, like, machine gun assaults that are like they're candy coated. It's all like candy coating. Where, you know, we've destroyed your society, and this is our PR move, and I'm this young girl, and I look like a Muppet, by the way. I don't understand what it is that, like, I flashed a little picture. She's like kind of hunched over and like making this weird froward look with her face, and I don't really. You know, I have nothing against people, but I've just noticed that, generally speaking, these folks, a lot of these folks, they tend to look like Muppets. Well, Mike, let's roll the Muppet Show theme song first before we start this video up real quick. I'm sorry, I don't mean to make you jump over, but go ahead and just pop that in. The Muppet Show theme song.
Very special guest star, Miss Juliet Prowse.
It's time to play the music. It's time to light the light. It's time to meet the Muppets on the Muppet Show tonight.
It's time to put on makeup. It's time to dress up right. It's time to raise the curtain on the Muppet Show tonight.
Hey, have I got an opening joke for you tonight. you're gonna love this. It's too good, huh?
To introduce our guest star, that's what I'm here to do. So it really makes me happy to introduce to you Miss Juliet Prowse.
Now let's get things started on the most
sensational, inspirational, celebrational, Muppetational. This is what we call the Muppet Show.
So I don't mean to, I don't mean to rain on your favorite pastime. And it was one of my favorite. When I was a little kid, I used to love to watch that show. But I just found it very odd and peculiar. As I grow up, I started to realize, it's like, I see, like, these Jews, like this guy talking about Amalek. I know I'm jumping ahead here. I got to roll this video out. All right, let me just roll this video out. Let me let this, okay, Mike, let's play this 53-second clip with this girl.
I am Jewish and proud because Jews have always done what's right. We've led the fight for gay rights. Harvey Milk fought to ban discrimination based on sexual orientation. Eddie Windsor was a leader in the fight for marriage equality. Miriam Ben-Shalom challenged the ban on gay people serving in the military. We've helped lead the fight for racial justice. Our rabbis were BFFs with MLK. Together with black leaders, Jews helped to establish over 20 HBCUs. During the civil rights movement, Jews were disproportionately involved in the protests. We've led the fight for women's rights, for equal pay and the right to choose, and against discrimination in the workplace. Jews were also among the first on the ground in Turkey, Ukraine, and Haiti. In Judaism, when it comes to helping others, no action is too big or too small. The Jewish principle of Tikkun Olam tells us that we have the power to change the world, and there are so many ways to do that. And this is why I am Jewish and proud.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So the Jewish privilege is tikkun is kind of predicated on based on tikkun olam, which means the Jews have the right to rule the world. Essentially, that's what it means. We have the right to change the world, to change it, to transform it. That's what they say. We have the right to transform and change the world into our shape, whatever we think is the right way to do it. And that's a good thing. I mean, like, well, listen to Barbara Spector. You know, I was psychotic. Yeah. Anyway, I say the same thing every single time we have a show, so let me not reiterate myself too much here. But now, I couldn't help but notice the Muppetness of this woman when she was talking, just because of her froward look and sort of... and I don't know what it is. Like, it's just... why does that happen? I mean, it's just very strange. I don't know if it's a genetic thing or what, but if we play the clip mic of the Amalek, now, this is a way more serious... hold on 1 second, Mike. Let me just comment. This is a way more serious threat, very direct, serious threat from a Jewish rabbi about how Amalek needs to be wiped off the face of the planet. The title of this one is... let me pull up here real quick. Yet another rabbi... Oh, jeez. Yet another rabbi commanding Jews to utterly destroy the white race, or a.k.a. Amalek, as they call us. So you can go on BitChute and you can find this. I don't know the rabbi's name. But he also looks like a Muppet. All right? So I don't think that that's out of... it's not unreasonable to say that he looks like a Muppet when he's calling to genocide my race, my people. So, yeah, let's go ahead and just play this guy. This one's like 2 minutes.
We have white supremacy. In the Torah, we had Amalek. Amalek is seen as the eternal enemy of our people, whose members found strength by making us suffer. Therefore, when the Lord your God grants you safety from all your enemies around you, and the land that the Lord your God is giving to you as a hereditary portion, you shall blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven. Do not forget. Our rabbinic sages parse these sentences and derive two distinct meanings. Blotting out the memory of Amalek is a military command, literally to destroy Amalek. Now facing today's Amalek, we are reminded that the Torah calls us not just to escape, but to extirpate Amalek. We are commanded to do real and literal battle against it. That means coming off the bench in the fight against white supremacy. It means putting our reputations and our money and our physical bodies on the line. But also so that we are ready to answer people with radically destructive and incoherent versions of history, so that we can counter white supremacists, so that we can counter Amalek and blot them out by retaining on our lips and in our records their history. By being bearers of history, we can help guide the future. Blotting out Amalek need not merely be about military conquest. Equally important is ideological victory. And nothing could more readily counter white supremacy than a Jewish community proudly helping our Muslim neighbors. There is nothing that undermines a white supremacist worldview more than diverse communities getting along and building together towards the future.
No, is that it? Okay. That was awfully quick. Yeah, I didn't think it was a whole minute and 46 seconds. Okay. I just took a couple notes here on things he said. So he assumes that, you know, we've been making them suffer. Not vice versa. Of course, a Jew never takes any responsibility. That's what a psychopath does. They never take responsibility for what they've done. They have no interest in getting along with white people, because, you know, because white people don't parasite off of others around the world. The Jew does that, and the Jew needs somebody to parasite off of. Now, the problem is that white Europeans have been waking up to this parasitic problem. We were aware of it when we were in Europe. And in America, we've been dead asleep to it because we've been removed from our European history. And we've had newspapers invented during the time of America and the television. So the Jews have owned all of that and have literally brainwashed the crap out of us. Just brainwashed the crap out of us. To the point where even super smart people are completely, completely brainwashed, and they can't even. I had a conversation with an old friend not too long ago, and she was literally like her eyes bugged out of her head, and I was trying to tell her about this issue, and she's like, "Oh, William, oh, like." Like, you are just, oh, you have really gone off the deep end, William. And then she started convulsive sort of like reaction stuff. And one thing she said to me was, at some point you just have to trust the experts. I had to laugh about that one. That was pretty funny. But after, you know, I hadn't talked to her in years. And we just got together and we had a conversation and, you know, met for a bite to eat. And then I just never heard from her again after that. You know, wished her a happy new year. Didn't hear back. Sent a follow-up saying, you know, hey, are you all right? Didn't hear back. Like 4 months later. So I guess I'm never... some people just, they can't, you know, they just can't do it. Well, anyway, the reason I bring up this Muppet thing is because I think it's kind of interesting how the Muppets have that certain look to them. And Jews, there's a lot of Jews, not all Jews, of course, right? Okay, I'm not a stereotypical kind of person, obviously, but I just see this Muppet look in a lot of Jews, and so what better PR move than to make themselves look like, you know, harmless little like cuddly characters that are funny and cute and you know, but I just kind of find it kind of strange. I mean, I think Jim Henson, the creator of, I think he was a Jew, right? I mean, everything on TV is Jewish now. I mean, what isn't Jewish? Nothing. Everything is either Jewish or it's Jew approved. So, Tikkun Olam, folks. Welcome to your Tikkun Olam world. And, you know, one of the Amalek rabbi who was talking about blotting us out and genociding us, you know, he calls himself in his version, his form of Tikkun Olam is the Jews have the right to be the bearers of history, to guide the future according to their version of history. I mean, literally said this to us. This is the words they use. They're going to give us their version of history, which is always a complete inversion of the truth. I mean, at some point, Jewish race, does it not? Do you not go, you know, maybe this isn't working? There's going to come a point where you're going to do that. You know, it's going to be like, this is not right. This is not how you're supposed to live. Making out the rest of humanity to be all slaves that should be killed, the best of which should be killed. Maybe we should rethink that one. We can rape kids that are 3 years old and older. Well, maybe we should rethink that one. Huh. What do you think?
What do you think, guys? Are we going about things the wrong way? Should we self-reflect? Self-reflection, what is that? Oh, man, I'm almost... Okay. I think we're coming up on the break. Do I hear music, Mike? I don't hear it. I see the clock. Yeah, I can never hear it. Oh, you're skinny. Oh, all right, skip the break. Oh, this must be going well. Okay. Well, I know you want to skip the break, but I just ran out of stuff to talk about. Hold on. Let me find something. Well, what clip is that? Let me see. I'm looking what I got here. I was just going to jump to another story real quick. Oh, right. Okay, that one's a long one. Okay, that one's like 11. So here's the, man, because, you know, I never watched TV. So, but I remember, okay, so there's a clip where it's like telling everybody, we have a pandemic of the unvaccinated. It's like 11 minutes of this, just over and over and over, and then parody making fun of it. It's pretty funny. So I think it's a good listen. It's 11 minutes long. We'll get through it. We'll see if we want to keep listening to the whole thing. But call in, okay, the call-in number is 512-248-8252 if you want to call in, or 800-313-8443. If you want to call in. But call in if you're in within the States. Call in at 512-248-8252. And let's chat. So, yeah, Mike, let's go ahead and play this clip. We got some time. Well, wait a minute. I think I'm probably jumping off onto that subject a little too quick. I wanted to kind of cover a little bit more on this. So we started off with Ron DeSantis enters the presidential race. Let me see if there's anything more interesting to read in here about this. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis will announce he's running. Discerning discussion with Twitter CEO Musk and DeSantis will host an event on Twitter Spaces, site's platform for audio chats. Well, interesting. Because Elon Musk kind of come out and name the Jews a little bit, even though Elon Musk is a Jew. You know, coming off the ADL a little bit, saying the ADL should drop the A. And then we have these funny little tweets in here, all these Jews kvetching. And then that's always kind of fun to read those tweets, but... okay. I'm going to jump on the next story here. Well, I'll tell you what. Look, I'm jerking you guys around a little bit. I apologize. So let's go ahead and play that little clip, that 11-minute clip, and then I'll jump back on these stories. How's that sound? Good? Okay. All right, Mike, go ahead and roll it.
We want to make sure that people can discern the truth from the misinformation. And we want to make sure that everyone understands that no one's safe till everyone's safe.
No one is 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 safe.
Nobody's safe.
No one is safe.
Nobody is safe.
This is a post-9/11 axiom. Safer, but not yet safe.
No one is safe. No one is safe. No one is safe. No one is safe from COVID-19 until everyone is safe.
If the whole world isn't safe, none of us are safe.
No one is safe.
No one is safe.
Nobody is safe
until we're all safe.
Health experts have been saying nobody is safe.
Nobody is safe until everybody is safe.
Nobody is safe.
The science is clear.
None of us are safe.
There is no safety.
No one is safe.
No one is safe.
No one is safe.
No one is safe until everyone is safe.
No one's safe.
Nobody is safe.
Nobody's safe.
No one's safe.
We'll never be safe
until we're all safe.
We are never going to be safe.
99.5% of people are safe and will survive COVID-19.
The only positive thing out of this is we should be able to manufacture a lot of vaccines and...
Nobody will be safe if not everybody is vaccinated.
You don't have a choice.
As long as not everybody is vaccinated, nobody will be safe.
Normalcy only returns when we've largely vaccinated the entire global population. So...
Get the fucking vaccine!
You need to get vaccinated, and if you don't, you are going to die.
I know you're vaccinated. You're the smart ones, but you know there's people out there who aren't listening to God and what God wants. You know who they are.
The unvaccinated people.
My message to unvaccinated Americans is this.
If you are the unvaccinated, you are the problem.
You're the
problem.
Condemn them, shame them,
blame them.
The only people that you can blame are the unvaccinated.
Frankly, we can't trust the unvaccinated.
They should not be part of polite society.
Lunatics who won't take COVID vaccines,
walking around lawfully unvaccinated. That's psychotic.
If you're willing to walk among us unvaccinated, you are an enemy.
You have no right not to be vaccinated.
You don't have the right to contaminate someone.
You can't go around pointing a gun in somebody's face, which is what it is when people are unvaccinated.
They are all idiots and losers.
This is a real movement in this country against the unvaccinated.
Jennifer Aniston is cutting non-vaccinated people out of her life.
The unrepentant, unvaccinated.
They should be removed from the hospital.
Those who refuse to be vaccinated should be denied health care.
Vaccinated person having a heart attack? Yes, come right on in. We'll take care of you. Unvaccinated guy, rest in peace, Wheezy. You're...
Some doctors are saying they'll refuse treatment for people who choose not to get the shot.
Why are hospital and ICU resources going to them?
Morons who will not get the shot.
The unvaccinated clowns.
Idiots who think that they can do their own research.
Don't do any of your own research.
Doing your own research is associated with conspiracy theory circles.
This go-it-alone approach, doing your own research,
it can have serious consequences.
You should get prison time for even questioning the vaccines.
Can we all stop saying, I need to do my own research?
That phrase, do your own research, four words, four little words that are hurting America.
Doing your own research hurts America.
Everybody has a supercomputer in their hand that empowers them to do their own research, and that's the problem.
You must not do your own research.
I need to do my own research.
I don't understand what that means.
I'm doing my own research.
You can't do your own research unless you're a scientist.
Do your own research.
Maybe you've told yourself you're playing it safe, you just want to wait and see since this is a new vaccine. No.
Grow the f*** up and get the vaccine.
Unvaccinated people spread the virus.
Get the vaccine, you dopes.
Don't be a f***.
Get yourself vaccinated. That's just all there is to it.
There's no excuse.
No excuse for being unvaccinated.
There's no rational and no emotional argument that adds up against getting your damn shot. There just isn't.
But you made a conscious decision not to get the vaccine.
I also have natural immunity. So for me, personally, this vaccine poses a greater risk than a benefit. I'm also not a risk to any of you. Let's look at the science.
So we see that the natural infection is given greater protection, or slightly greater protection, than vaccination.
This is a vaccine that was created to prevent severity of disease and to prevent hospitalizations. But the vaccine does not prevent you from getting COVID and does not prevent you from transmitting COVID.
Oh, my goodness.
Reality,
no,
we have
that's
seen that.
Not so. Come on.
No,
you've been at Fox TV
you
too long.
Have to enjoy.
I just
so,
really
again,
don't think that we should
again,
allow
Sonny,
this kind of misinformation.
Again.
Mr. Sandman, get the vaccine so that you don't get COVID-19.
When we poke ya, well, we know you're gonna be safe from COVID infecting you.
The virus stops with every vaccinated person.
Do it so you stop spreading this terrible disease.
And that vaccine, a key goal is to stop the transmission so that you get almost no infection going on whatsoever.
Expectation for vaccines is not to get infected.
A vaccinated person gets exposed to the virus does not infect them.
When the virus gets to you, you stop it.
You're not going
to
catch it, you're not going to get sick, you're not going to transmit it.
The vaccine is absolutely bulletproof.
Vaccines block you from getting and giving the virus.
100% effective at preventing COVID.
A vaccine prevents you from getting infected.
It is to keep you from getting it and then spreading it.
We have the ability to stop COVID in its tracks.
You're not going
to
get COVID if you have these vaccinations.
Biden tests positive for COVID-19.
When people are vaccinated, they can feel safe that they are not going to get infected.
Dr. Fauci tests positive for COVID-19.
Vaccinated people do not carry the virus, don't get sick.
CDC director tests positive for COVID-19.
Get your vaccine.
Pfizer CEO tests positive for COVID. Pfizer CEO tests positive for COVID again. CDC director tests positive for COVID again. Fauci tests positive for COVID again. Joe Biden tests positive for COVID again.
Cases up 258%. The majority of these cases are among the vaccinated.
And this area is the most vaccinated part of Massachusetts.
Okay. All right, we're going up against a break, folks. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Standing 6'4", weighing 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science, analyzing brawn. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the Republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the Republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Black Owl Coffee, and I started Black Owl because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
I sleep in a modest house. These green hills are mine. And if I die, who will tend my children? Who will be by the side? And I said, hang on, hang on, black lung
heartache. Seems I can't shed no more. We will continue here. Well, not with that. We got enough of that. I think we got it with that one. But we do got some callers here. We got Patrick in Texas, and we got Mike in Kentucky. So, Patrick, welcome to the show.
Thank you, William. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, sir. I can hear you fine.
Oh, thank you very much. The Jews refer to us as Amalek, and Amalek is the descendants of Esau, and he's the bad son of Isaac, and we had Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So that's in the middle, But so that was a bad son. But also they had Cain and Abel. Cain was a bad son of the Adam and Eve. And they claim that they are that we are the bad son, which was Esau, and in the sense was Amalek. When we say that's a bunch of hogwash, you know, you guys are the ones that are actually the bad seed. You interbred with the Canaanites and the other Edomites, and you basically just eliminated your bloodline, and they hated their race of Isaac, and that's just a big overview of where they're coming from with this. But they're dead wrong. But that doesn't matter to these people. They're a bunch of liars anyway. It's just a matter of where they're coming from, and that's always been the best. He's like the Canaanites. It was outside of Israel. They were very evil. They were also called where the word cannibal comes from, Canaanite cannibal. So they're very, and all the sacrifices, the child sacrifices, the temples, that was what they did. For once a year, the Canaanites do the tradition would have all the women sit around the outskirts of the Canaan land there, and they have to submit to any wandering shepherd that came along, and they would come down with gonorrhea and syphilis, and that would deform for four generations, and that's probably how they got so absolutely messed up. The Canaanites were bad, and Eustace Mullins says that these are all Canaanites, and he makes a pretty good case because they were they filled the vacuum when all the Israelites went into captivity. They poured in, and it's like Pontius Pilate. He wrote a letter to Caesar, describing Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was a blonde haired, blonde beard with blue eyes, deep blue eyes. He was just a kindly man, and he liked him very much, and he refused to want to kill him. But he was preaching to a bunch of black-haired with black beard, and he spoke in parables because he didn't really want to teach them. He said, "My people know my voice," and they were not his people. And that's the thing. You know, they had already been 700 years prior. They went into captivity, into Assyria and Babylon, and we now know what happened to those millions of Israelites. There's things like the Rosetta Stone. They have in Persia on the 300 feet up the hill in polished stone, like a triangle, three languages, and it gives the actual name of what the Israelites were called, and so archaeology has tracked them down. Now, we as a race, the Caucasians, we think we come from the Caucasus Mountains, but we know, where do we come from before that? We don't have a record. We know that we are the Israelites in the last 12 tribes. All of Europe is the Israelites. It's like Spain, which is Iberia. That's in the Gaelic language, that means Hebrew. And Hebrew translates directly into English. And then they moved into Ireland and Scotland, and that was called Ibernia. And, of course, the English is called Saxon, and was Isaac's sons, our British covenant man, and Danish, your tribe of Dan. You know, we've got all that, we got it down, but we have been so brainwashed, and it's been eliminated, and we don't study our history, probably, because it was washed out of us, and all we know is we go back to the Caucasus Mountains. But anyway, I'm going to go any deeper than that because, that's a it's probably a lot of new information to most people. But, that's our real history. We should be, we have nothing, we have everything to be proud of. We were God's chosen people. And back over to you, William.
Well, I would, you know, even if you were to take out all of the racial aspect of the whole thing, right? You look just at the behavior. If you look just at the behavior of the people, because it really actually is impossible to trace back for somebody to claim that they can trace back their lineage to Abraham and claim to be God's chosen people on some sort of blood for some whoa, 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 for some whoa, sort whoa. Of blood level, right? Well, hold on. I'm not saying. Well, hold on. I'm not saying that. I'm not disagreeing with you that the Europeans are actually God's chosen people. I think that is the. I tend to agree with that because of the behavior of the Europeans, and because of the values that we traditionally have had. We've unfortunately had the Jew as a monkey on our back. And throughout our entire existence, or at least from the last 2,000 years, at least. So what I'm saying, what I'm referring to specifically when I say somebody that claims to have a blood tie back down to Abraham, that's specifically like a racial supremacist kind of tie, saying we're God's chosen people, like what the Jews do. We're saying that we're God's chosen people because we have this blood tie, and you know Israel belongs to us because you know we have this connection to it from the Bible, which they don't. They've just invented that they have that, these people now, right? And so we have a right to go around killing and maiming and causing mayhem. These are and in the Bible, in the Old Testament, it was actually God saying, you gotta wipe. You know, look, I don't want you to go to war. But if you're insisting on doing it, then you're going to have to wipe out these people, these Canaanites that you mentioned, that you very well described. And so now you have actually the Canaanites themselves, just like what you've described, because of the behavior. I'm saying it's because of the behavior of the people that they've gone down that lineage. Because if you look at it from a covenant perspective, the new covenant, right, the old covenant was for the Israelites who were figuring out what to do, like a baby's figuring out how to not to go to the bathroom on itself as it's growing up, right? And God's being patient with these people while he raises them up. And some of them went down the path of righteousness and became Christians. And then some of them went down the path of the Canaanites or whatever, and went to Babylon and ended up writing the Babylonian Talmud and went the completely wrong direction, the antithesis of God. So you had like a split there. And then I do agree that the European people have embodied what God wanted humanity to embody, especially the Germans. Like the Germans are especially like model people of the world, like how to be a human being. And unfortunately, the world just doesn't know that because the Jews have taken hold of everything, every lever of information, you know, the media, you know, even have subverted the Bible to a great degree. Go ahead, though, Patrick. Let me kick it back to you.
Yeah, it was like Michael Gatti. He had his team. You know, his three guys, Matt, and he had with him, I can't remember his name right now, but they were all talking about the Civil War and the Second World War mainly, and I brought up the point that the Germans were actually by the Romans, they're the ones that call Germans. They were actually Scipians in the land of Scythia, and which were basically the Israelites. They were known as that and so. They were run out by the Persians, by the Samaritans, and the Persian people, and as we've been run out so many times before, and it's like we were actually run out of the Middle East. We've been in Assyria and Babylon. You know, we were basically running for our lives, and we didn't stop till we hit the damn North Sea with the, we escaped from the Samaritans, and we moved out of land, but the Romans. Called the Scipians German as in genuine Scipian, and the Sarmatians who are now living in that land, who you would associate, you know, that name with, you know, they were not the right ones. So that's where we got our name, Germani, Latin. You know, it's like archaeology has solved it. It's like the Bible went cold about 700 B.C. and with the captivity. But due to archaeology and a lot of these discoveries Rosetta Stone on a polished mountain with the three different languages, and they identified that, and also cuneiform tablets that identified us, and plus all of our kindred, you know, they know who they are, like the Scottish, they have a founding document. They fully identify themselves. And it's like when Jesus left from the Middle East, he has a his uncle Joseph Arimathea took him and Mary. He took Jesus there to England for a while to Glastonbury, England, and Cornwall, and where he had his mind. And that's where Jesus was missing when he was like 9 years old till he was 30. Well, he was traveling with his uncle. More than it has all been recorded. All the people of Cromwell of Glastonbury, they all know this very well. But of course, all of the culprits run. You know, they took over the church with the Jesuits and all. They just altered everything. And so you know, they.
Patrick, let me ask you something. Where do you get? It's funny is that when Christ was born, right? They knew it was Christ, and I think, and it was what was his name? The emperor wanted to kill him, so they had to flee and go to another village to get away. What was the name of the emperor? Herod. Yeah, because he knew that this was a king. I don't know if they knew the nature of the king, but then we don't know anything about Jesus' life until he's 30 years old. So what I want to ask you is. Do you have a source you can provide about where you gotten educated about Jesus' life before he was 30 years old?
Yeah, there's a lot of people who write about that. I got Charles Wiseman, got an excellent book on it. I got E. Raymond Capp, C-A-P-P. He actually taught down in Harrison, Arkansas. They all know him down there, he's an archaeologist and historian, and there's many of them. Pastor Pete Peters, they are all, you know, Pastor Earl Jones, just numerous people, and there's a lot more books that, you know, that guy was trying to remember is Stephen Collins is another book, The Origins of Ancient Israel. You know, there's lots of books that people just, you know, and then Eustace Mullins done a real good job. You know, the Curse of Canaan, which are the, you know, goes all the way back to history.
All right, Patrick, Curse of Canaan, I got that one. Okay. All right, Patrick, listen, okay. I got to move on. I got a couple more callers, but thank you for the call. I always appreciate your info. Okay. All right. We got Mike in Kentucky. Mike, welcome.
Good evening or afternoon, wherever you're at. To quote the late, great Tina Turner, we don't need another hero. As he was getting at, Yeshua, commonly called Jesus, is the way. So we don't need another hero. We just need to try to grasp all that was fulfilled there with him. And a lot of people, a lot of churches, I'm trying to take this off speakerphone. There we go. Do I sound better now? I hope I'm not.
You sound the same. Yeah. You didn't sound bad. You sound fine.
Okay. All right, good. I never know anymore. They've tried to basically digitize every phone in the country. And right now I'm trying to get the attention of Liberty Council, which is the one that helped, and I like to say I'm calling from the targeted town of Kim Davis. You know, if you followed all that rigmarole over her not wanting to put her name on a gay marriage license. I was about, I don't know, 14 years ahead of her on that issue. I could see it coming. But, of course, they made a big example out of trying to anyway, and I've got an appeal going out of our little hole-in-the-wall TV station, which has been completely destroyed now. We were just basically cable access with an excuse for the cable company to put us on. But anybody that's a praying person, I'm kind of overwhelmed with this. I don't see how anybody can comprehend all the rules of civil procedure and the stuff. You know, I don't have much faith in the courts, and a lot of people end up settling for a stalemate. You know, 99.9% of cases don't go to jury, which ours hasn't, and now I'm trying to appeal it. But
this case,
in over my head. It's when I was asked to help out in 1997, I noticed that the domestic surveillance was all over the phone lines, and that was way before the Patriot Act. And I had no idea until at least 2008 that we had no licenses. This is for a local TV station.
Hey, hang on. Hey, Mike, can you stay over until the end of the break?
Yeah, I know you got other callers. I'll be brief.
No, I'll be right back. Just stay over. Be right back, folks.
Let's talk debt versus deficit. I'm Peter Serafine with another Liberty Minute. The national debt is like your credit card balance. It is the amount of money owed if you pay it off right now. The national debt limit is like your credit limit. It is the maximum amount you are allowed to borrow. The 14th Amendment says that the public debt shall not be questioned. It does not say that increasing the debt can't be questioned or challenged. Every time we approach the debt limit, politicians on both sides say that we will default on our debt if we don't raise the limit. Well, that's only true if government keeps spending on everything that they want. Only two expenses are specifically authorized by the U.S. Constitution: the public debt and national defense. Constitutionally, everything else is optional. Pay the debt payment and the national defense expense and budget what's left. No debt increase needed. Don't let politicians lie to you so that they can keep spending your money with reckless abandon. Please visit the shop at liberty-lighthouse.com and pick up a bumper sticker or t-shirt. Until next time, Cephas Paschev, Parabellum.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Okay, we're back. All right. So, Mike, I like Peter Gabriel. He's pretty good. Mike, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, you were saying regular listeners to RBN know a little bit about my story, I think, but I haven't heard you on here much. I don't get to listen to this time of day a lot. What's your name again?
William Rapone.
Oh, well, now I recognize that. I guess don't recognize your voice for some reason. Anyway.
there's too many other characters on my show all the time. That's why. I'm always getting interrupted by these other characters, like this Russian guy, this other two Russian guys, this robot, this Jewish newspaper worker now, most recently, named Melvin Nabertackle. I mean, these really weird, like, kooky people keep showing up on my shows, and so I just try to make the best of it. I mean,
alter ego. The alter egos. Now, I don't know. I just, there's quite a few things that, you know, that guy covered, the last caller, that I'm going to have to go back and listen to again, because I've heard some of that. And one of the things, you know, where he mentioned that the true Israeli or Hebrew people got ran out of a lot of countries. Pastor Pete Peters back in the 1990s had a series of messages or sermons called The Greatest Love Story Never Told. And he goes through how, you know, the chosen people repeatedly would get blessed and then get corrupt and be humbled and, you know, ran around. And that's the way a lot of the Old Testament is. But I think in order to rightly divide the word, I mean, besides trying to divide up what's parody and poetry and what's actually being spoken to people then with blood in their ears, is the idea that some of the Old Testament probably has been messed with, especially that from the Levites, or as I've heard them called, lies are us. So, you know, if you look at the minor prophets, there's a little different attitude about a lot of stuff, you know, than there is by the Levites. And they're the legalistic ones, you know, that ended up being the Pharisees and the Sadducees, I think. So if that helps anybody, I think, like he said, a lot of those were... And Yeshua, Jesus, had to come when he did, or nobody would have believed his genealogies, I think. I mean, after that, when they were scattered, and that, by the way, that in the 70th week of Daniel, he tells you when this is going to happen. He says, when the power of the holy people has finally been broken, or some translations say shattered or scattered. I think the whole concept, modern Christian concept, that the 70th week of Daniel was suspended is wrong. It wasn't suspended. Their exclusive relationship, their power, which was that temple and the ability to take animals and kill them to have your sins forgiven, was broken in 70 A.D., and that's fulfillment, and that increases your faith. But anyway, I could really use, anybody that knows my situation, I know we're running out of time, you got more callers, I could use some prayer warriors' help, or anybody that knows the Liberty Council, let them know to look in their dang inbox. I have trouble with getting messages to people, and I think the whole Internet's rigged, and so is the power system. All right.
All right. Well, thank you, Mike. We'll say a prayer for you for sure. All right. We're at the end of the first hour. We will be right back for the second hour, and I got Rick in Arizona and Mark in New Jersey and Joe in Florida. Take that.
Take America back. We must take America back.
Hey there, are you gonna wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop and lift?
What in the world is an ease-off drop and lift?
Our EaseOff is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the EaseOff installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com. That's EaseOff.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Easoff LLC, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.